Along the time, I think Josiah thought that was half our song service, but that's all of it, brother. That's how we do it around here. We don't sing too many, but let's sing one more if we can stand. You all know this, I believe, longing for Jesus. How many's just longing for him today? He is seed dead. And we'll sing this as Brother Josiah comes out to speak the word today. Are you expecting to hear from God? Amen. Bring that expectation now. Longing for Jesus, I have a longing in my heart for him. Yes, Lord Jesus, just to be near him, to feel his presence. You feel him here today? He promised it. I have a longing in my heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes. Let's raise our hands. And let's believe God now. Yes, I'm long. Brother Josiah.
That longing truly deeply in your heart. I have a longing just to see Jesus. Like Simeon in the temple, he cried out, "Oh, that my eyes might behold the glory of the Lord."
Yes, Lord.
And he was granted his request. I believe that we'll be granted our request this morning. My heart is so happy to hear the unity and fellowship of the brethren restored in the testimony. I think that's part of what we've already seen this morning is the glory of the Lord coming down and
Amen.
Making himself manifest in unity among the brethren according to the promises of the Word. I believe it is a uniting time. And God and His church are uniting. And He's not just uniting separately with each individual, but it's a whole church coming together up in the stature of a perfect man together uniting with Christ. So we know that when we see uniting, it's a time that we're just a little bit closer to heaven. Amen. And I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord.
Yes, I am. Hallelujah.
So we just look forward to that. And just if you would, go ahead and turn with me in Hebrews chapter 12. I want to thank Sister Ellie Mae for making this beautiful statue of a perfect man that we have here for the sermon today. Lord willing, we'll get into that. And Brother James, thank you for helping me out there. Appreciate that. But sure appreciate Sister Ellie Mae. You know, we knew her all the way back before she ever met Andrew, I think, back on the days of Youth Quake Forums. And we were all young and I suppose we still want to believe we're young now, but we were a lot younger back then. And, you know, we always know Sister Ellie Mae to have been a real Christian lady. And, I know Andrew got himself a gem when he got her. I was thinking about that last night and just thinking, you know, I wonder how the Lord feels that he got his bride, and started thinking about all my faults and my failures. And I don't think there's a man here that's married that would say that he doesn't have a gem, but what does Christ think of me, I was thinking. And the scripture came before me that for the joy that was set before him,
Christ.
He endured the pain of the cross.
Hallelujah.
And you know, we might look at our little ones and we might say, with all their little mean attitudes and so forth, they'll never make a real good bride or a real good husband for someone one day because they're so immature, but by faith, we know that we'll grow out of those things.
Praise the Lord.
And by the faith that Christ had, because he knew what was to be and what was to come, he could see that we're going to one day grow out of these sin, sticky flesh. And only his character would remain.
Hallelujah.
And so we are the joy that was set before him.
Yes.
So we just want to look into our husband, Jesus Christ, as we look in the Word today. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul writes, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." May the Lord add His blessings to His Word. Let's go before the author before we have our seats. Dear Lord, we just come before You as mere men, it feels, Lord, but Lord, as mere mortals, we know that we've been given an immortal soul, dear Lord. Now, Lord, I just ask that You would help me, Father, to bring forth this great thought, Lord, that You've laid upon my heart. And Lord, I know that it's not my thought. I know that it's from Your mind, Lord, because over the last year and a half, You've changed my entire life with it, Lord. And now, Father, if You could be a blessing to these people, like You've been a blessing to me in the last year and a half, and use this word, this thought from Your mind to change their lives, then, Lord, I believe that we'll have victory in the tabernacle this morning. I just pray that You would now come upon the scene and speak to Your people, O Lord, and have Your perfect way and preeminence, Lord, and move this man aside behind the pulpit, and move every man and woman aside in the pew, Lord, and speak directly to our hearts, Lord, and may we receive freely of You, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may have your seats. I'd like to take this thought, if I may, looking unto Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I think there's been no other time in history where it's so important for the people of God to just think about this particular scripture, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
You know, there's many places that we can look today. The world right now is looking towards ISIS, and they're looking towards Crimea with Russians occupying the territory there and going for the oil, as it were. And they're looking towards President Obama and the healthcare system and healthcare reform. And the world is looking towards many places. And you know, it may be that some of us are looking towards many places this morning. Maybe we got up this morning and we were looking for the kids' shoes or something, and we're all fretting about, you know, where is Johnny's shoes? We can't find his shoes. And maybe that's still on our minds today. Maybe, I don't know, maybe one of the kids right now is sitting in the seat with just one shoe on. But if we can just come aside, I believe,
yes,
and just focus on one thing. And there's many things that we can focus on, and I would like you to ask yourselves, what are you really focusing on?
Amen.
In your life, what are you really focusing on?
Right.
Is it towards one single focal point? One single source? The world has many sources. I've got this iPhone, it can be such a distraction to me.
Oh, absolutely.
I've got an iPad, it's a distraction to me. I've got a job, I can worry about the pressures and the trials and the finances that come out of my job.
That's right.
I can worry about relationships, and I can worry about what's going on there. And there's many distractions that could be on your heart this morning. Many things that you could be looking for, and many things that you could be looking towards. You know, the young people now have this Instagram, and they've got all these photos that they're looking at. And some of us older ones are, you know, even getting on Facebook nowadays, and we're looking at the next guy's vacation, and wow, that vacation's looking pretty nice there. And we're looking at the next guy's truck, and thinking about, my goodness, that truck, how could I work more hours, or how could I do something here, over here, cut over here, so that I could get a vacation or a truck like that.
Sure.
And so there's many things that we could be looking towards today, but I think there's only one thing that would give us an eternal result for our looking.
Yes, yes, Lord.
And that's looking towards Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
And so, if we're looking towards Jesus Christ, and we can all agree, and how many could raise their hands and agree today that that's what I want to look at this morning? I don't want to look at my relationships this morning. Just maybe just start with an hour with me. Maybe if you've been looking at things before this and you've been distracted, can you promise me that just for an hour we'll look towards Jesus Christ this morning? Just for an hour, that's what I'm asking. Because when you start looking at Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, it's such a beautiful picture that everything else is going to melt away out of your life. And every depression
And every anxiety and every fear is going to melt away out of your life. And the things that you think are such a big deal, and the things that you think are so important, and the sin that so easily besets you, that you're holding on to so strongly, those things will melt away.
Amen.
If you will just give an hour of your time this morning to look to Jesus Christ, I believe that you'll find that going forth from here, you won't want to look away.
Amen. That's right.
So how many can promise me that just for an hour, we're going to stay tuned in, and we're going to look towards Jesus Christ this morning? When we start and begin to approach Jesus Christ, many people have looked to Him through the years. And they can say that I've seen this and I've seen that, and you know, I've seen a baby in a manger, and I've seen, you know, I've seen a God that kills people and destroys them in the Old Testament. And I see someone that says that He's a father, but every time that I come before Him and every time I pray to Him, He never listens to me. And He's just like the old father that I had before, and He's always condemning me, and He's doing all these things. And so before we start talking about looking towards Jesus Christ, within that discussion, we have to consider, how are we looking at Jesus Christ?
Yes. Amen.
With what perspective and what background are you looking towards Jesus Christ? He's God the Father. But are you looking towards Him with some sort of perspective of painted lenses colored over from your experience in life? That my Father back here never listened to me. And He never gave me the time of day. In every opportunity, He condemned me. And I don't know what kind of background we might have here today. Maybe you came from a molesting background. I don't know.
Come on, brother.
But when we come from a world of sin,
yes,
and then we're directed to look towards a perfect man, Jesus Christ,
yes, sir.
Sometimes it's hard to recognize that this Father is not that Father.
Yes.
And that friend, this friend, is not the friend that betrayed us over here.
Amen.
That He is faithful and true. He sticks closer than a brother. And
yes,
that He loves us.
Amen.
We've got to understand that this Jesus Christ is exactly who He says He is.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. And the only way that we can do that is through faith.
That's right, brother.
And how does faith come? It comes by hearing the Word of God.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
If you've gotten perspectives and you're going down to your knees and you're talking to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, You're the God that always listens, but You never talk back to me. I encourage you to look into the perfect law of liberty this morning.
Yes, Lord.
And in that is a faith that shows you who God really is.
Yes, sir.
Because it's written that without faith it is impossible to please God.
That's right.
And if it's impossible to please God, then how are you ever going to be able to come into His presence?
That's right, brother.
So first, as the prerequisite, there has to be faith. Amen. And you might feel like, Lord, I want to have faith. I want to be able to come into Your presence. The preacher is ministering right now and he says that I can't even come into Your presence without faith. I can't even please You without faith. How do I get that faith? You might be speaking like that woman that says, Lord, I believe a little bit, but Lord, help my unbelief.
Come on, brother.
And I believe that He's faithful to do that. And the source for that faith is the Word of God.
Amen.
And there's people that have gotten away from this Word. And there's people that have pulled away from the message of the hour because they've been listening to other voices.
Yes, right.
And those other voices have gotten them distracted.
Amen.
But the only way that you can have faith to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is to look into the perfect law of liberty.
Yes.
That will set yourself free.
Amen.
From all doubt and all unbelief.
Yes, sir.
And you'll find that you'll be able to judge God according to His Word.
God.
According to His promises. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For every man that cometh unto Him must believe that He is.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Is what His Word says He is.
That's right, yes.
When a man comes and begins to court a lady and begins to tell her who he is and begins to convey his personality and his character to that lady, what creates a love in his heart for that woman? It's when she begins to believe He is who He says He is.
Yeah, that's it.
That she has a trust in Him. That when He says, honey, I'm going to take care of you all the days of my life, she says, I believe You're going to take care of me all the days of my life.
Come on now.
Honey, I'm promising You forever. This ring is just an outward sign, but inside of my heart it's written in a circle that's never ending.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Promising You forever. And she believes that it's forever.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
And that word of promise and that faith of trust connects And it creates a bond that can last through the ages. Amen. And that's the way it is with the bride of Jesus Christ. He comes down in His Word. He says, honey, I'm promising you forever and forever. I'm promising you from the Alpha to the Omega, from the beginning to the end, I'm promising you my kingdom. And she says, honey, Lord Jesus, I believe in that. I just simply choose to believe in that. And she meets Him on those terms. Oh my, I think of Sarah one day. Sarah had never met Jesus Christ. She had never met the Promised One, the one that had made the promise to Abraham. Oh, she might have been sitting on the plains of Mamre for a long time, darning those little knots, those little socks. And every time Abraham came in, from another talk with God, he'd say, "Honey, we're gonna paint this blue now. We're expecting a boy, not a girl. And just keep darning those blue socks over there." And she just had to believe her husband. Maybe she didn't believe.
Right.
Maybe she said, "You know, I'm just being submissive and calling my husband Lord. I'm doing what the Bible says, but I don't know if I really believe yet." But there came a day out on the plains of Mamre. With three men came down to Abraham. And one of them Abraham called Lord. And that man came to Abraham and Sarah inside of her tent. And Sarah was sitting there and just listening to the conversation. And the man began to promise, according to the time of life, I'm going to visit your wife. Abraham, and she's going to conceive the promised son. It's been a long time you've been waiting for 25 years.
Right.
It's been a long time you've been waiting for 60 years since the prophet left the scene. But the promised life, the promised son, is going to be birthed through that bride.
Amen. Right.
And before, she didn't realize that promised life was going to come through her.
Right.
She thought it was going to come through another.
Yeah.
She thought it was maybe going to come through this denomination over here, or this one over here, or this more spiritual preacher over here.
Hey, brother.
But then she realized that her sitting in her little pew there, sitting in her tent, there was a man that was saying something up there, just beyond her pew, that was saying, the life that was promised is going to come through you, Sarah.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
And she laughed in her heart. She said, this is just a man. But what she didn't realize, it was God speaking through that man to her heart.
Amen.
Right there in her tent.
Oh my.
And what happened? She had a meeting with a man that could tell her the very thoughts and intents of her heart.
Right.
The very man that is present here this morning.
Yes.
That can read your heart like a book. There's a man here that can. There's a man that's searching out after the thoughts and intents of your heart this morning.
Amen.
And he can open your heart like a book and say, you've got this depression over here. And you've been dealing with this anxiety over here. And you've been giving a struggle of faith this morning. And this morning you woke up and you didn't know whether you wanted to go to church or not. And you didn't know for the first time in a long time, you weren't quite sure whether your family was going to come in. But he read her thoughts and the intents of her heart, and she realized that it was more than a man that was standing there.
Amen.
It was God speaking to her.
Amen.
And in Hebrews, it talks about Abraham as being a man that warred in faith and patience. But it also commends Sarah, says that through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed.
That's right, brother.
Because why? She judged God faithful.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen.
So before we even begin to talk about looking at Christ, I want to ask you this morning, how are you looking at Jesus Christ?
Amen, brother.
Are you judging Him faithful this morning?
Amen.
Are you judging
That's
Him it. Able to meet all of your needs?
Right.
Are you judging Him as one that hears only and does not answer? Or do you believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him?
Amen.
And that He is who He says He is. He's Jehovah Jireh this morning. He's Jehovah Provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's your healer. He's El Shaddai, the one that can nurse you back to health this morning. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? Is that how you're looking at Jesus Christ this morning?
Amen.
Or are you saying, this Jesus Christ I've never seen. I've heard the ministers and I've heard Abraham preach about Him, but I've never experienced Him in my life. What I want to say to you this morning is Jesus Christ is here now and He's ready to give you an experience like you've never had. If you come onto your knees and you say, I just know a God that listens, but He doesn't respond. He doesn't speak to my heart out of this word. Jesus Christ is here this morning. And He can give you an experience like you've never had before in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. can fall on this tabernacle, Amen. This day. This day could be the time that this scripture is fulfilled in your life. Acts 2:38, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost by faith.
Amen.
Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the remission of sins and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you judge him faithful this morning? For without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
So what are we looking to Him for? Are we looking to Him as someone that made promises but doesn't keep those promises? Or are we looking to Him as David said, Lord, we look unto You as servants, unto the hands of their masters, until we see Your glory, Lord, until we see Your mercy, O Lord. And I believe that the Lord is here this morning to give us His mercy. He's here to fulfill our promises.
Lord.
All you have to do is lift up that need before the Lord this morning.
Exactly.
A man can't minister to it, but the Lord Jesus Christ can minister to that need.
Amen.
And if you lift up that need before the Lord and look to Him this morning with us, I believe He's here to meet that need.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
So then if you're lifting up needs before the Lord, I'm wondering, what are you looking for? What is your need this morning? Maybe you have need of deliverance. Maybe you have need of more faith. Of your brothers and sisters to come into the Lord. Maybe you have a struggle of faith. I believe that the bride is looking towards her husband for everything that she has need of.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
I might have a truck. I'd like to have a truck. I actually don't have a truck, but I could look to the dealership for a truck. But that's not looking to the Lord for my needs. And if I was honest about it, I'd have to say that I don't really need a truck. But first, we need to identify what it is that we need. Be honest about what it is that we need, not what it is that we want.
Amen, brother. Come on.
He promised us all of our needs would
That's
be provided
right.
for,
Amen.
But not all of our wants.
Uh-huh.
So what it is that we have to filter through our heart what it is that we want and what it is that we really need. And bring those needs to the altar.
Amen.
And God is faithful and just to meet those needs. David said, "Search my heart, O God, and try it. See if there be any wicked way in me. Search my heart, O God. There be something in me that's thirsting after something of this world, and I'm not getting it, and that's why I'm not satisfied. It's not because you're not meeting my needs. It's because I'm thirsting after something that I don't need."
Amen.
Come on.
Search my heart, O God.
Yes, Jesus.
I believe this bride is looking towards the Lord Jesus Christ for all of her promises.
That's right.
She's looking towards this scripture to fulfill all of her needs. Adoption, faith in God, the victory in divine love,
Amen.
Manifestation of the sons of God, the third pool,
yes.
the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's looking to Jesus Christ for all these.
Yes, sir.
See, we have to make sure that not only are we identifying the difference between our needs and our wants, but we have to make sure that when we have faith, that faith is according to the Scripture.
Amen.
That faith has to be according to the word for the
Absolutely.
Hour.
Amen.
You look at Jehoshaphat and Ahab one day. They sat up at the border of Israel, ready to go to battle.
Uh-huh.
And they said, "We believe in the scriptural promises here. And according to the scripture," and they consulted 400 prophets,
Amen.
And they said, "According to the scripture, we should be having all these boundaries."
Right, right.
But it wasn't according to God's timeline.
Right.
And it wasn't according to God's provided way.
Amen. Right.
They didn't first go through their homes and scour their hearts and scour their
right.
homes.
Right.
They didn't first address these issues with their wives or these issues with their children. And they began to say, "My house needs this, and God's not providing it." And they put the fault on God.
Amen.
And no doubt it was a great stumbling block for the people when they saw 400 prophets prophesying in the name of the Lord that they would have this victory. And they didn't have it. But it was because it wasn't according to the provided way.
Amen.
So before we even begin to approach God for our needs, we have to say, "Lord, first, what is your will, O Lord?
Yes, Lord God.
What is your way, O God? What is your timing and what is your season?"
Right.
And
yes,
we find this through prayer.
Yes.
And we find that what's birthed into us through that prayer is not a faith of intellect that comes from raw study and white and black study of the Word of God. But what's birthed into us is, instead of an intellectual faith, a faith of God is birthed into our hearts.
Yes, sir. Amen. Praise God.
Because the faith of God is designed to see what God wills,
yes,
and what God wants.
Yes.
And that faith is the radar to find out what God wills and what He wants for our lives.
Amen.
Through looking unto Jesus Christ through prayer and being submissive to His Word and being submissive to His Spirit dealing with us and moving upon our hearts.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
I think of Hezekiah. He took a very different approach. He received the letter from Sennacherib, and this great, huge letter. It must have been probably written out on these big scrolls to make you feel intimidated, probably about the size of a man, about how he was going to destroy their children and pull them limb from limb, and what he was going to do through the families, and not leaving one brick upon another.
That's right.
And what did Hezekiah say? Lord, I've got this great letter before me. And he just laid it out before the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, now, Lord, what are you going to do about this?
Yeah, that's
I'm not going to move. I'm not going to take one step, Lord. I've got this demon of homosexuality on me. I've got this demon of perversion here. I've got a demon of oppression in my life. I've got a demon of depression. I've got family members that aren't saved, and Satan's telling me that they're never going to come in. And all these great letters that are written against the people of God, and all these things that are pressuring against the people, and this unbelief in the hour, and I've got these websites that are trying to come at me with their intellectualism. And this great letter, and Hezekiah places it before God, and he lays out before his face, and he says, Lord, what are you going to do about it? And he waits, and he says, Lord, I'm trusting you for this. And then the word of the Lord came. Then Isaiah the prophet came and said, this is what the Lord's going to do on behalf of your people. I think of Shamgar. What did he see when he looked for Jesus Christ? Oh, one day he was sitting there, and 600 Philistines came tromping out, and their battle armor with their battle axes. They had helmets just inches thick. And what happened? Shamgar said, I need a deliverer right now. I don't have time. Maybe right now I don't have time to pray, but I know that I'm already prayed up. I'm already a child of God. I already know what my identification is.
Yes.
I'm a child of God. I'm an Israelite. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can step out here in faith. These things with tromping around with intellectualism and faith and unbelief and coming against my faith and all these things. And he picks up the ox goad. Picks up something, just whatever was in his hand there. And he says, I'm going to come against the enemy with whatever is in my hand. Whatever the Lord's provided me, that's what I'm coming against the enemy with. He's given me the scripture. He's given me His word. He's given me the message of a prophet. He's given me faith. He's given me the Holy Ghost. I'm going to come against those things with this, which I've been provided already.
Amen.
I'm not going to come against these intellectual demons. I'm not going to come against this kind of oppression with my reasoning. I'm not going to come against it with my faith, but I'm going to lean back upon the faith of God.
Amen.
We cannot defeat this kind of onslaught. 600 Philistines coming against us. 600 websites rising against us. 600 men saying that this is no longer the way. This is no longer the provided way. Oh, sure, they're well armored. They have their arguments so well structured. They spent their lives, it seems, structuring these arguments against us. And we're just a simple people.
Amen.
But you know what? It's okay. Because God said that if you will not become as little children,
that's right,
then you will no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And so Jesus Christ just simply asks us, be like a simple child.
Yes, sir.
Look unto me. Don't look unto your reasons.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Don't try to answer their questions.
Come on, brother.
Just look unto me. The
Amen.
Author, I began your faith.
That's right,
I'm faithful and just to finish your faith.
Thank you,
oh, I think of Peter.
Thank you,
one day Peter looked. What did Peter see when he looked? He was in a boat one day.
Yes,
all the storms were raging and the wind was a-blowing. And Peter looked out that boat on that day. Oh my, the clouds must have been dark. Maybe he had to peer really hard to be able to see out there. And somewhere he saw a man standing upon the water. Defying everything that it seemed was possible. And against all odds, he looked out there and it defied his reasoning. At first he said, my, how does that happen? And then he heard a voice coming unto him that said, I am Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that gave him the faith to step out of his boat. He said, I've been in this boat for too long now.
Amen.
But there's Jesus Christ. There's no way I'm going to stay in this boat.
Amen.
And Peter stepped out of that boat. And you can step out of your boat this morning.
Amen.
And he began to walk towards Jesus Christ. Oh, there's some times when Christ just simply calms the storms in our lives. But then there's times when those storms are let staying there.
Yes,
there's
Lord.
Times when Jesus Christ, when he's in our boat, he calms the storms for us.
Praise.
But when he's out of our boat, he doesn't make it easier for us. He says, you need to work just a little bit harder. You need to come out here and you need to meet me. You need to pray a little bit longer. Bring back the all-night prayer meetings.
Yes,
yes, this is the end time. Why were there all-night prayer meetings in 1960 and not now? Bring back the desperation. Bring back being convinced that I am God. Bring back that this is the message and this is the provided way. Lay aside all this unbelief and all this doubt. And maybe you've stepped out of your boat recognizing that that was Jesus Christ. And like Peter, you walked about halfway, and now you're starting to sink this morning. You can feel the cold death of unbelief coming over your hand and over your feet and over your head. But I tell you this morning that if you'll just continue to look into Jesus Christ and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's going to be a time when you're going to step out of that ocean that you're sinking into, and it's going to be coming underneath your feet again.
Amen.
That unbelief is going to come underneath your feet. That doubt and that shadow and those circumstances are going to come underneath your feet again. And whatever you're dealing with that you're feeling like you're sinking in this morning, just look unto Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't look here and then at Jesus Christ. Don't get out of focus like a range finder. You put up that range finder and you see, you can see maybe a cactus, but you see three cactus instead of the one cactus that is there because it's not focused in. And it brings in confusion to your life because you're not focused in. You're looking towards this website over here for answers, and you're looking to this minister over here for answers, and you're also looking toward your Bible. What I'm saying is the Bible has the answers.
Right.
What God's provided us has the answers.
Amen.
You've got to get back to Jesus Christ and look at Jesus Christ. That is where your answer lies this morning.
Amen.
Whatever you're dealing with, that's where your answer lies.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not in the counseling of men. It's not getting relationship counseling on Facebook or on the websites. It's not this, that, or the other. But Jesus Christ can heal relationships. Jesus Christ can deal with doubt. Jesus Christ can deal with unbelief. Jesus Christ can deal with sickness more so than your doctor can deal with sickness.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is here today to meet your needs if you're just looking into Him.
Amen.
And when you look into Jesus Christ, I remember Peter, what happened then. Is that shortly thereafter, he got up out of that water. Maybe his garments were still wet and he was still cold. Probably the wind still blowing, chilling his skin. He said, Lord, that was a close one, Lord. You almost lost me there, Lord. Let's be a little bit more careful next time. But the Lord had the whole situation under control all the time. And he already had a fire prepared for Peter.
Amen.
With bread and fish thereon.
Amen.
If you'll just look into Jesus Christ this morning, you find that the Lord's already got a fire prepared for you on the shore.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You find that the Lord's already made a provided way for you.
Sure.
Amen. That's right.
If you'll just get your eyes off these other things and look at Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
the author and finisher of your faith,
amen.
There's bread and fish upon the fire.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
I think of the blind man that said, Lord, I need you to heal me. And Jesus Christ took the spittle that was on the ground, took the dirt and spit into it, rubbed it up, made a little bit of a paste. He put it on the blind man's eyes. And he asked him, do you see yet? Do you really see me yet? And the blind man said, I see men standing as trees. They were all out of focus. And maybe this morning, you feel like you've gotten the first touch from the Lord, but you're still out of focus. I believe the Lord still has a second touch this morning. I believe that the Lord still has something for us to focus on. And the second application of this word is going to come now.
Yes, Jesus.
Let's turn to it. Because we know that that blind man, when he got the second application, he could see whole.
Amen.
And that's what we want to see tonight. Hebrews 6. In verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or of faith towards God. Amen. I'd like you to begin looking at this stature of a perfect man now. The faith towards God, not laying again the foundation of the faith towards God, which Paul laid at the Alpha Church, amen, and which we were brought back to underneath the ministry of Malachi 4, 5, and 6.
Yes, sir.
We were established, this foundation was relaid in our lives, and we were brought back to it by a wise master builder,
yes,
WMB.
Lord.
And that was established here in our hearts, and we have already found the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5, and 6.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I can say it this way. You are Malachi 4,
amen,
6.
Come on, brother.
You are the ones that have been restored back the faith of the,
amen,
fathers.
Amen. That's it.
But not laying again the foundation of faith towards God.
Come on, brother.
Not laying again the foundation of baptisms. If you've been baptized already, have faith in that baptism, if it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's not revisit it. Let's have faith that that's the way.
Amen.
It's already been shown to by Scripture that that is the way. Nor of the laying on of hands, or the resurrection of the dead, or of eternal judgment. Not laying again the foundation. But what are we doing? We're looking unto Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
In Ephesians 4, 13 and 15. So not laying again the foundation of faith, but here he says in verse 13, till we come all into the unity of faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So where are we looking? We're looking unto Jesus Christ, unto the perfect man, not laying again the foundation of faith, but moving on into perfection. Why? Verse 14, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him, into his stature,
yes,
in all
Lord.
Things, which is the head, that headstone, even Christ. So what we would like to speak to you about this morning then, I hope we're all at cruising altitude now. Took a little while to blast off. We've laid our foundation of faith. We know who we're looking at. We're looking unto Jesus Christ.
Yes,
we know that the way that we're supposed to be looking at Jesus Christ is through faith.
Amen.
And that without that faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And that we know that we're looking unto him for what? For all of our scriptural promises.
Right.
Shamgar looked to him for deliverance. Sarah looked to him for the promised son, the promised life. We're looking unto him for the same things. We're looking unto him for everything that he's promised us in this hour.
Right.
And so it's written in 2 Peter chapter 1 through 5 to add to our faith.
Yes, sir.
Not laying again the foundation,
that's right,
but moving on into perfection, that we may grow up into Christ, unto the stature of the perfect man. Let's not get caught down here and lay again this foundation, ask all these questions and say this and that and the other, but let's make sure our foundation, through trembling, making sure our own salvation, and once you're sure of that salvation, let's see it built upon.
Amen. Amen.
How is that foundation
right.
built upon? It's a work of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
The Bible, Brother Branham said that these things are not added to us, or these things aren't something that we add to ourselves, but they're added to us.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
This stature of a perfect man is for the Holy Ghost-filled believer.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So it says, adding to your faith virtue. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength.
Absolutely.
Virtue is simply strength. It says that virtue went out of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so virtue is something that we actually give to the people.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Virtue is something that we are, that we're now a conduit. It's one thing to be able to say, you know, brother, maybe Brother James is telling me about how hard of a trouble that he's going through in a hard trial. And I say, well, Brother James, I just have faith for you. Does that do anything for Brother James? He doesn't leave strengthened. And so we've got to grow up into the image of Christ.
Sure.
That it's not just our faith anymore. I've got faith for my healing, and I've got faith to claim this. But we've got to come unto the measure of the stature of the perfect man, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Take on the same virtue that Christ had. He was a conduit for the people. He expects his people to be the same conduit.
Amen.
So how do we get that virtue, that strength? It comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if you want to grow up in this stature of a perfect man, it's through receiving his strength and being able to give it to the people.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Isn't that much more beautiful than just saying, I've got faith and I've got this and I've got that and I can claim this and I can move forward? Isn't it more lovely to be able to say, you know what? I sat down for an hour with that man, and after that he was able to go home to his family, and he was able to make amends, and
yes,
that family's going on with God. And,
amen.
And I was a channel for that.
Right.
It was Jesus Christ operating through me to give that man strength.
Amen.
You're coming into the stature of a perfect man now.
Hallelujah.
Now Peter says, adding to your virtue, knowledge. Knowledge? Well, I thought we preached against knowledge here. I thought we preached against all this worldly wisdom and education and everything else. And now here Peter is telling us to add to our virtue knowledge. What kind of knowledge is that? It's the same knowledge that Christ had.
Right.
Christ said that I don't do anything until
right.
the Father
right.
shows me.
Amen.
And we can study and we can say, well, here it says that, you know, be baptized according to the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And, well, over here it says that It says baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I see a contradiction here.
Well, no. Absolutely.
You don't have the same knowledge that Christ had yet.
That's right.
Don't add that to your faith yet.
That's right.
Because it's not the same knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother Branham says it like this. When you get the same attribute of Christ, you can add that to your faith and it vulcanizes.
That's right. Yes.
He uses the example of when you have a car patch on your tire, and you've got to patch up the tire. You can glue that on with just a regular Bondo glue, and as soon as that tire starts spinning and the molecules start energizing and heating up and vibrating, that glue will separate and just falls off. But what happens when you vulcanize it is you take the same material,
right,
that same rubber, and you put it on there with the heat of a chemical reaction, the heat of the Holy Ghost applying it to your life.
Sure.
And it vulcanizes, actually reaches out those molecules, and it cross-links with the existing fiber.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same fiber, and it's the same material.
Yes.
And you can't tell it apart anymore.
Amen.
And you don't even know if knowledge is faith anymore or faith is knowledge, because it's so part, it's so added on now.
That's right. Yes.
And so you can stand there, and you can look, and you can say, well, I don't understand these scriptures. But then God comes, not doing anything until first the Father shows me.
Right.
And you wait there on the scripture. And this is a basic example that most of us know, but there's many things that we could take.
Sure.
And it says, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we realize through the Holy Spirit, oh, Jesus Christ is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy
That's
Ghost.
That's right, brother. Absolutely.
And there's no more contradiction. It's vulcanized, and you can add that onto your faith.
Right. Yes, right.
I had a struggle myself. Actually, the last time that I was here, I was going through the depths of it. And in my heart, I was just saying, Lord, there were two things I had on my heart. Lord, the scripture says the fields are now as white in the world,
yes,
and they're ready for harvest. And I said, Lord, where's the harvest?
Right. Amen.
Father, if we're preaching the true word, and I believe we are, then there's a true power with that word, and there ought to be souls coming to fulfill the scripture.
Yes, sir.
Lord, where's the harvest? And the other thing that I said was, Lord, in Mark chapter 16, here it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. That they'll tread upon serpents, and they'll ask anything in my name, it'll be granted, and people will be healed. And Lord, I'm not seeing this. And constantly I held this before the Lord, and it just hadn't vulcanized on my faith yet. I just hadn't seen it, and I was just struggling. And I went down, and
I had fellowship with my brother Kenny Capps down in North Carolina, precious brother. And I quoted that scripture. Brother Kenny, these signs, you know, the fields are now as white in the world. And he said, hold on, brother. That was for the time of the heart, that was for the time of Christ. Now, Brother Branham said in our time that we're now in a gleaning time.
Right.
We're the 11th hour workers.
Yes.
We're just gleaning now.
Yes.
And every little soul that we can grab is still sold to the Lord, but we're just gleaning.
That's right.
Ready for everything to be gathered together and brought to final harvest.
Sure. Yeah.
And I started to think about it, and it vulcanized with the Word, because over here I saw, you know, the love of many should wax cold.
Right.
And over here the Word of God said that in those times that it would be scarcely the righteous would even be saved.
That's right.
And it just settled the question of my heart. And I could say, Lord, I believe that.
Yeah.
And I no longer had the anxiety anymore. And it just vulcanized right on my faith.
Amen.
But I still had this other thing over here. And I said, Lord, it still says these signs shall follow them that believe. What am I doing wrong that I'm not seeing this? And so I just labored in prayer over it. Just kept holding it before the Lord. And that's the way that we have to do it, is just hold these things before the Lord.
Right, brother, yes,
until
sir.
He, by the work of the Holy Spirit, not a work unto ourselves. We can't do this.
That's right.
We're just men, mere mortals, with an immortal soul. The only thing that can do it is the very God that's within us.
Amen.
So
Amen.
We just look to that Christ that's within us, and we wait.
Sure. Amen.
And so I said, Lord, I'm waiting. And I'm waiting with patience. And back in August, you might have heard that there was a young sister in our church coming up down from Dayton. She, back home to Toledo, she stopped by and had some ice cream. And that ice cream had some peanut butter in it. And that peanut butter caused an allergic reaction with her system. And I sent her over to the emergency room. And she started fading. And I couldn't bring her out of it. And so the doctors there, no one had the answer, and they had to life flight her down to Cleveland. And in the wee hours of the morning, she was struggling for life. And by God's grace, she came out of that. But she was in a wheelchair. Actually, she wasn't even in a wheelchair because she couldn't even sit up. She had no power. She had no strength in her to even get up, to even sit herself up and prop herself up from a bed. Hannah Bradner, 16 years old. Precious sister in our church. Her boyfriend came to visit her, and she couldn't even remember her boyfriend. 2 years completely wiped out of her memory. Told the guy, you seem like you might be a nice boy. Maybe we could get to know each other. You can imagine the devastating impact on his heart there. But just gone. Just seemed like a hopeless situation. And that was in August, and she just kept on believing. She said, you know what? The Lord is going to have to do something for me here. And we started preaching on it. And some of the brothers even got up from behind the pulpit. My brother, Brandon Sinicola, he just got up behind the pulpit, and he started preaching faith to her heart. It was one Wednesday night service, finally, at the end of November, that we went back around the end of the tabernacle there, and I saw her in her wheelchair. She had finally gotten strength to sit up. She had finally, her memory was beginning to return to her, but still wheelchair bound. And she said, this one thing have I enough strength to do. I can stand, and I can raise my hands, and I can claim my promise. And so she was just standing there, and she was doing everything that she could do. And sometimes that's how we have to do things.
Right.
Is, Lord, I can't do this, but I can do this right here. And Lord, what I can do, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you at the end of my road.
Amen.
I've come as far as I can, Lord. I've gone as far out of this boat as I can go, Lord. Now I'm sinking, and I need you.
Amen.
And God did not fail to meet her there.
That's right.
1 week later, she began to walk. She came back in her walker, still not whole yet, but still persevering in patience, just still persevering. And the doctors told her, you know, you're not really going to walk before all this happened. And she said, no, I'm going to walk. By the end of December, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to go to Winning Youth Retreat. And so she just kept on persevering. And the doctor said, no, that's not reasonable. And you might never walk again, and if you do, you won't walk normal. And it certainly won't be by the end of December. And she said, but I've got a God that can heal me. And so she came in there the next week after her testimony of faith, walking in a walker. The next week she walked up by her own power in this last December to the front of our church. And she gave a testimony and a song of the Lord.
Our God still heals.
Yes.
Our God still moves. Our God still moves through this church, and He's still able to deliver, and He's still able to heal, and He's still able to raise the dead. Another man in our church, he came back at the end of Thanksgiving, and he found his son there lying in the home, 20 years old, unrepentant sinner. Blood sugar level of 2,000. Body temperature of 71. Rushed into the hospital. He'd been there for about 5 days, they figured. And the doctor said they don't come out of this kind of condition. Basically, everything but dead. As far as the doctors were concerned, he was dead. And the church went to praying. And the church, some of us went to fasting, believing for this unbeliever. And within a week's time, he was raised out of that bed. He was raised out of that hospital bed. No damage to his appendix or any of his organs. And he's a whole man now. He went into that. He said, I don't believe in God. He came out of it and he says, Dad, I believe there is a God. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. So what I come to find out then is that it's not that these signs are necessarily going to follow me personally, but these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, how God works through it, I don't know. That boy there that was lying there, he might have been lying there for 5 days and then finally raised up like he was. And maybe it was my faith that raised him up. Maybe it was Brother Brandon's faith that raised him up. But I don't think so. I believe it was the faith of them. Amen. It was the faith of the church that raised up that man from death. And so I find out that could vulcanize with the Word of God. And that's what we have to do with knowledge, is we might have questions in the Scripture, and we might have our questions. And I encourage you, don't seek out other people's questions. Don't seek out other people's thoughts, but you find your questions. And God has promised to lead you and to guide you into all truth.
Amen.
And we hold on to that promise and we say, Lord, I need you to lead me here, Lord. I don't understand this over here, Father. And someone came along and I wasn't even looking for doubt, but someone came along and presented doubt to me. But now, Lord, I'm holding this up to you. And I'm looking unto my Lord Jesus Christ, the headstone. And I'm looking to you to add this knowledge onto me. I'm not looking for a website. I'm not looking for some resource out here in the world, but I'm looking to you to add this on to me.
Amen.
Because He is the one that I'll lead you and guide you into all righteousness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's not a man that has that promise. Nobody else has that promise that you can be led and guided into all righteousness. But only Jesus Christ has made that promise to us.
Yes,
so we've got to look unto Jesus Christ,
yes, the
author and finisher of our faith, whether it be virtue or knowledge. And he says then to add on temperance. And temperance is simply controlling our tongue.
Sure. Yep.
You know, you might get some fusses and squabbles in the church, and you look to the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, I want you to control my tongue. Close it when it shouldn't be open.
Yes, Lord.
And not only the things, I think we're all starting to fall off the bandwagon now. We all say things that we shouldn't say and grieve the Holy Spirit sometimes, but really growing up in the stature of a perfect man is, Lord, close my mouth when it shouldn't be open. And then when it is open, so lead and guide and direct that tongue, which no man can tame, but the Holy Spirit can tame. And He can take this tongue and paint apples of gold into pictures of silver. You are the pictures of silver. Your brother and sister is a picture of silver, but they are not complete without your words. Your words of kindness and your words of love. And you have to submit yourself. I have to submit myself to paint those apples of gold into their pictures. And how I've been condemned and how I've been brought into the judgment of the Lord because I've painted some black thing into their life instead of an apple of gold. And where I've done that, I pray that the Lord gives me mercy and grace that I could come back and paint over that again in their lives and come back and erase that out of their life.
Amen.
But if I can't do it, I trust the Holy Spirit will do it. But from this time, I want my words to be able to paint apples of gold into your pictures of silver. Your brother and your sister need that from you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And finally, not finally, but adding on to it, godliness, which is to be godlike, to be holy as I am holy. The things that are in our closets that ought not to be there get cleaned out. The things that are on our phones that ought not to be there get cleaned out.
Yes,
the things that are that we're wearing that we ought not to wear, they get cleaned out of our lives.
Yes, sir.
That's not just for the women. That's anymore with the spirits crossing over. That's for the men too.
Sure.
You look at men's dress. If you're following the fashions of the world, I went out recently and bought myself some clothes and just bought what was on the rack. That's what the models were wearing and seemed like it fit fine. A few months later, the Holy Ghost came and corrected me through someone else at the church. He says, if you would have asked me yourself, I would have done this, but now I've got to do it through another vessel. Now it's got to be a little bit more embarrassing for you. And I'm like, wow, Lord, you're right. I can't have that in my closet. I followed the fashion of the world too much. I didn't pray about it like I should have. God-likeness. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we cannot achieve that unless we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It says to be that we would be partakers of the divine nature in 2 Peter 1:4.
Yes, right.
We can't be perfect even as God is perfect unless first we're partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
So all these characters, they require them to be birthed into us by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That
Amen.
Body is the stature of the perfect man, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
So we're coming on up into it now, aren't we? Do you begin to see how great an image this is?
Yeah.
It's no longer about just faith down here. This is just the stepping block.
Yeah.
This is just the prerequisite. This is just the eye salve that gets applied to our eyes. There's a lot more here if we just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
There's a lot to look at, isn't there?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I hope it occupies our time until the Lord comes.
Oh, Lord. Yes, Father.
Final thing before the Holy Ghost comes down and seals off that man is brotherly kindness. And that's simply putting yourself in the other brother's place, trying to understand where he comes from.
Right.
Trying to figure out where it is that maybe he had a real hard background in his life. Maybe he had a real hard time. And it's not for your brother only. I believe it's for the people that are out in the world that we need to have brotherly kindness towards.
Amen.
It's for someone that needs some brotherly kindness. In an age where the love of many would wax cold, the testimony of Jesus Christ unto the believer is brotherly kindness.
Amen.
They don't find that out in the world. We call each other brothers and sisters, and they don't understand that. They don't even have a proper relationship between their own brothers and sisters, or half-brothers and half-sisters, or whatever it may be in messed-up family situations. They need something that's perfect to show them the image of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
What is it? It's now coming up in the full stature of the perfect man. Brother Branham says that you become a living idol unto the people.
That's right.
And the wrong kind of idol worshiper will take some monkey or something, and they'll begin to worship this image of a monkey. And the consecrated ones, the sincere ones, are so consecrated in worshiping and bowing themselves before that image of a monkey, the spirit of that thing actually comes back into them. And they begin to act and they begin to behave as a monkey.
Yeah.
But if you can make yourself into a living, moving monument unto Jesus Christ,
yes,
men and women can look at you and the spirit that's in that living, moving idol now in your life comes back upon the unbeliever and they can say, that's something that I can live. That's something that I want. That's something
Hallelujah.
I can step into.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And it's the spirit and the bride saying, come. And now we're identifying ourselves with Christ because we're one body, one flesh with Him, one stature of the perfect man.
Yes, Lord. Oh,
and then the Holy Spirit comes down and seals that. He can recognize that. He can fit on top of it. I believe then we come into a full stature of a perfect man when He comes down in divine love. And that's what this bride is promised.
Yes, sir.
Is a victory in divine love.
Amen.
Divine love has to be sealed on by the Holy Spirit. And it has to fit on top of brotherly kindness.
Exactly.
On my way here, I was listening to Brother Branham talking about an episode he had in Toledo back in the day. And it's sobering because it's from the city that I live now. If you will just bear with me for the story, I believe it's from the Lord. He'd been eating now at a Dunkard restaurant, having meetings in the arena there in Toledo. And the Dunkards, they dress in little caps, and they dress real modest. And he was just enjoying that. He was drawn away, just going to the meetings and then going back to his little hotel and fasting and praying, and sometimes going to this Dunkard restaurant. And, of course, they were closed on Sundays. And so he come out of this fast, and there was no place to eat, so he went over to this American style, maybe a Denny's or someplace like what we would have today, and just went into the restaurant. And you can imagine a nervous prophet now having drawn himself away, only going to the Holy Ghost-filled meetings, fasting, praying, seeing what he could possibly do for the people, the burden of the Lord upon him. And he walks into this restaurant, and there's filthiness everywhere. He says, I saw these young teenage boys over here, and one of them had his arm around the waist of a teenage girl. Just totally inappropriate. And over here, he said that there was a lawman on the slot machine, and he had his arm around the waist of a 20-something-year-old girl, and the lawman looked like an old, dirty man, about 50 years old or so, just doing absolutely inappropriate, not following the law, because at that time it was totally illegal for them to do slot machines and gambling in Toledo. And there was just a spirit of filthiness over the world, over the place. And he looked over and heard some drunken snorting, and looked over and he saw this 70-year-old woman. She'd taken her hair and she'd put blue dye in it. She cropped it off real short, if you can imagine it. And she was sitting there with another old man, and he was drunk too. And she put on these shorts, and she put on these old cut-off jean shorts, and he says the meat was just hanging down. And it was just a disgusting sight. How low sin could bring a person.
Sir.
And just all over the place, just filthy. And he looked and he says, there with that lawman, the law of the nation showed it was corrupt. And it says, there with the young people, with the men that ought to be in church, they ought to be worshiping before the tabernacle of the Lord. They ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with ties and suits on, and they ought to be clean and well-dressed and showing a spirit of cleanliness about them. And they were bringing this girl's morals down, and there she was. And there this woman was with this old lawman, and 25 years old, there the motherhood of the nation was gone. She ought to be out there being a real mother. And it was all gone. I looked over and saw this blue painted up woman with all the mascara on and blue hair. There was the elderly that was gone. And you can just imagine how filthy this was now. I pray that you would, I'm coming to the end of the sermon now, but if you can just take your gate of imagination and open it unto the King of Glory, let the King of Glory come in. You place yourself in that place. The filthiness, the spirit of cleanliness that Brother Branham was in, the spirit of cleanliness that we're enjoying now, and place yourself into that. And realize how everything had just become so corrupt. He said, Lord, how can you stand it? How can you stand this sin when you are so holy? And I can experience your holiness when I go to the meetings, and that angel standing beside him, and your Holy Spirit covering the audience. And then this exists. He says, Lord, why don't you just wipe out the whole thing and take us home? Why don't you just bring your bride home and wipe this whole muck off of here? He said that he began to see just a little vision coming up, and he stepped behind the door to give the Lord his room, what he wanted to show his prophet. And he said, he saw a world spinning. And off of that world came a mist as the world spun around. Mist like a comet might show on the comet's tail. And what it was the blood spray. The blood spray of Jesus Christ covering over the world. And he says, their sins were going up and hitting off that blood bumper and coming back down. And Christ was standing outside of it, and he wouldn't even recognize the sin. And then he said, I saw my sins there. He saw his sins there. He began to put himself in the place of a sinner, exercising now brotherly kindness. The Lord showed him his sins coming up there, and he saw his sins go up and take off that blood bumper. He says, Lord, thank you, Father. The vision transitioned into a little room where Christ was standing there, and a book was before him. And on that book it was opened, and it wasn't a book of redemption, but a book of all of your sins, all of your mistakes, all of my failures. Everything that I've done wrong and everything that I've ever had any shame about was written on that book. And he says, Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that to you, Lord. Lord, I didn't mean to put those dark stains on your book, Lord, on that nice clean paper, Lord. I didn't mean to bump my sin, my dark blots against your righteous blood. Lord, I didn't mean to do that to you. And Jesus Christ simply said, I forgive you. I'm going to take that book and I'm going to throw it behind me. And it went into the sea of forgetfulness. And then he turned towards Brother Branham and he said, now you're forgiven. But you wanted to wipe this woman off back here. And wipe her off to face the planet. And Brother Branham realized what he had been brought to. He'd stepped outside of that stature. He'd stepped outside of the channel of the Lord. And what did he do? He stepped back into that channel of brotherly kindness. And he went to that woman. And he said, lady, he said, sister, do you mind if I sit with you? And she said, I've got company. He said, no, I didn't come to you for that. And so she let him sit down by her and began to tell her what he had just seen there in the vision. And she said, are you Mr. Branham? And he said, yes, I am. He said, you know, I've been wanting to come down there to that arena. He'd been standing there condemning her the whole time. But buried within that little heart was a desire to come down and listen to his messages. Yes, we don't know what the sinner with a gauge in their ear might have in their hearts.
Right.
We don't know what that person with a big tattoo on might have down in their hearts.
That's true.
He found himself, and when he found himself in her place, he could minister to her. And she began to tell her, you know, I'm a mother. I was raised in a Christian home. Just slurring her words as she goes. And I've got two daughters, and they're Christians. And she told some different things about how she had gone astray and the reasons why. And she said, I've been wanting to come down there, but I just don't believe that he would have me. And the man said, now using faith, he said, as long as that blood is applied there, what is he doing? He's operating the channel of virtue, giving virtue to her, patience, working with her, knowing what she's going through, understanding where she's at. Not just saying, oh, well, you don't believe it, go on. Patience, virtue with her, being Jesus Christ to her. And what was it? She could receive from that. And he says, as long as that blood is there, you can come and you can still receive from Jesus Christ and you can still have your sins remitted. She says, I'm drunk right now. And I don't think he'll accept me right now. And he says, that doesn't matter. Just come to the Lord. And she got down on her knees right there in the midst of all the sin, in the midst of all the circumstance. Jesus Christ broke through.
Right.
And what was it? Jesus Christ descended right then. On top of this stature of a perfect man, divine love was projected then, and grace took over.
Thank you, Lord.
So they got down, they had a prayer meeting. That old lawman that had been having his hands where it ought not to be, he got down on one knee and took his hat off. And the atmosphere of that entire place was changed.
That's right, brother. Amen.
And brothers and sisters, this is the stature of a perfect man that we're looking for.
Amen.
This is what I want to see in my life. So let's look unto Jesus. Let's get past the things that are bothering us. And if we haven't had an experience with Jesus Christ, let's have that experience. Because without that, we can't even have the faith. Start with faith. Say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see. Right now I'm seeing men as trees, Lord. Let your word be applied to my life a second time, that I might see you clearly. And look unto him with everything that is within you. Look unto Jesus Christ. Get past all this foundation of faith, not laying that again. And let's look unto Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How many can say amen to the word of the Lord? If you would pray with me. Dear Father, Lord, I just ask that you would speak to these people, Lord. I believe you have, Father. Lord, it's not about us doing anything, Lord. It's not about us trying to work out the reasonings or this, that, or the other, trying to find the solution. But Lord, I've found that it's a very simple thing to be as a child. And how happy of a thing it is, Lord, when I can surrender the responsibility to guide myself and to look unto the guide that's promised to lead me into all truth. Lord, I just pray as I look over this audience that you would minister their hearts, oh God. Friend, maybe you've been struggling for a long time. Maybe with all these spirits of unbelief that are rising at the last stage, you've been really having a struggle of faith. If you just want to look to the Lord right now, maybe you can't grab a hold of the faith, but you can do what you can do. You can defy gravity. You can raise up your hands and you can say, Lord, I need thee, Lord. Lord, help thou my unbelief, dear Father. Maybe you've been needing a provider this morning and you don't know which way finances are going to go next week. Look unto Jesus Christ. Look and live. He is the answer for the hour. If we could sing that song, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. As the brother just sings, just look to him. Recognize your need this morning.
Oh, blessed my Savior.
He's here to bless you this morning. Just look to him.
I come to
He's called you. Will you answer?
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Oh Lord, you're here to bless him, Father.
Oh, bless
the Lord. I pray that your spirit would descend, dear Father. Speak to your people, O Lord.
I come to thee.
Let's just go to him this morning. Lord, we come before you, Father. Lord, we admit that we have a need before you, Father. Lord, I'm holding up my needs this morning. These people are holding up their needs this morning, O God. Lord, you've come, Father, and you're here to meet all of our needs, O God. Lord, we just pray that you would come and speak to each heart and speak to each need, O God. Lord, we need thee every hour, dear Father. And our heart's desire is just to look unto you, Lord, as simple children. Lord, to look and live as servants into the hand of their masters, as bride into the hand of her provider husband. Bless your people now, Lord, I pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing that song, Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh.
He's still your provider, friends.
I provide.
He's still here to meet every need in the building this morning. He's not yet done moving this morning. He's more than enough. Oh, yes, Lord. That he's hearing the prayer of your heart. Bless
him.
Yes, Lord.
Jehovah, right.
As the minister would come.
You are with me.
His name is called Emmanuel. His dad plays that softly. Let's all bow our heads together. What a word this morning, Christian friend. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of His presence now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't wait for an altar call because it's going on right now. A lot of times we wait for a man to say something when you've already heard what you need to hear. Brother, sister, if you're not right with God, this is the time to do it. It's time to make it right. Say, Lord, I look in the mirror of your word that's been spoken this morning. I see where I've fallen short, but not going to be too proud. Lord, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Lord. Not making excuses. I didn't need to be like that. You gave me the Holy Ghost. I didn't need to have an attitude. I didn't need not have patience. Lord, I'm trusting the blood today. Wash my soul once again. Let that blood that keeps me clean. Can I have another? Just another pouring over my life. God bless you, brother, sister. The Lord sees your hands. Don't let him make you doubt. The devil come by. You listen to what the Spirit just told you in your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I highly advise you to make sure you're honest with God now. Brother, if you can't get the victory, it's only you that's to blame. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Presence now. Just keep worshiping and keep praising it. Don't be in a hurry. The Bible said don't rush from the King's presence. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to use you today. Would you yield yourself to Him? Would you be a vessel for Him to use? Or are you just already to lunchtime already? Or is God done moving today? It's up for you. Don't harden your hearts. Can you get any softer with God than you are right now? Are you dealing with doubts and reasons? Reasonings. Why, oh, it ain't nothing to it. I'm just here. I'm just preoccupying a seat. No, you're a son or daughter of God. You've got a purpose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In His presence now, is there anyone that would have a need and would want prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Would like to come forward and have prayer? I want to open up the opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Got some little ones coming. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
If there's anyone else, you can come now. Come pray with these.
With all bountiful blessings, Father. Lord, may you heal his knee, your father, and his leg, dear Lord.
May you take all pain out of there to Father and set a hedge of protection over his life, Lord. I pray that you would birth this young man to the full stature of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would take this leg and make him a strong warrior for Jesus Christ, oh Lord. Take this leg and put strength in, oh God, and take that heart of his and put strength in that heart, that he would be a fierce warrior for your name, Lord. Bless him now, Lord, in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord. Take this mouth, Lord, and heal it, your Father. Lord, we commit this mouth unto you, Lord. Lord, we dedicate this mouth, little Sadie, to you, Lord. Father, may there be no work of the enemy in that mouth, but there may be the work of God come out of that mouth, oh God. May your words protrude out of that mouth, Lord. May you make it whole, Lord. Whole by the speaking of your word, Lord. May she take her apples of gold and feed them into people's lives, Lord, with her kind words and her sweetness and her temperament, Lord. And may the Holy Ghost be brought out of that mouth, Lord, at a young age. Grant it, dear Lord, I pray. Send upon the Lord and take little Sadie's life, Lord. And may she just be a darling little girl for you, Lord. Grant it now, Lord, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, bless her, Lord.
Beholding his face, gaining power to run.
Oh, yes, Lord.
The race,
oh, yes, Lord.
I long to be shot in with God.
Just worship him. Thank you, Lord.
Shot in with God,
you, Lord,
in a
yes, Father.
Red flame.
Praise God.
There in the Spirit, beholding his face, gaining new power to run in the there in the Spirit,
still working on the
beholding his
face, Lord, looking into
gaining
none other,
oh
God,
but just
gaining new power to make the next step, Lord,
and
to further and to virtue, Lord, and Prince of the Nations, oh Lord, on up into full adoption.
Sing it in the Spirit. Believe what you're saying now.
With that headstone, that capstone sealed on my life, oh God.
Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. In a secret place. There in the Spirit, beholding his face. To run in the race, how I long to be shut in with God.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so.
Sing it now with all our hearts. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His love. And that's the reason why.